Today's Old Testament reading comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 7. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And Isaiah said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted. And the Lord will bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house such days as have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Syria." This is the word of the Lord. And the book of Romans, chapter 1. A letter from Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all those in Rome who are loved by God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. I tell you, after a rousing song like that, I feel like I need to come out here with a lot more energy, especially since he sped up there in that last stanza. Thank you. Sorry, I'm not going to keep the speed going. Don't worry, the sermon still won't be terribly long, though. Today, as we have this picture behind me and in your bulletins, we get to talk about someone who doesn't always get talked about a whole lot during this time of year. We get Joseph, you know, the earthly man who took care of young baby Jesus, who took care of Mary, his mother. You know, we get all sorts of songs about Mary and Jesus and wise men from the East we don't know the names of, but poor Joseph, you know, he'll get his day at least today. We'll talk about him at least briefly. Today we get to hear, like Marty said with the kids in our Young Time lesson, that he and Mary, they both listened to the angels who had a great, wonderful thing to teach, to tell them that God was doing something amazing. It would be hard to hear about this amazing thing that was happening that required a personal sacrifice on their part, saying, well, it's already happening. The baby is going to be coming. Oh, okay, well, thanks, God. Give me faith and strength to follow through with this. Of course, that might be my response, but they seem to take it in stride and say, okay, we'll do as you say, angels. We'll do what God wants us to know. You see, in that gospel reading, right, you have this. You have Joseph taking a dream. He's thinking, well, what do I do with this? Mary is pregnant, and it's not by me, and this baby is going to be coming. Well, I don't want to be connected with this shame, and so I'll just divorce her quietly, and I don't want to shame her publicly. I don't want her to be hurt. What am I going to do? He goes to sleep, probably pretty troubled, is my guess. And as he's sleeping, an angel comes to him in a dream, and he tells him, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, that would be a pretty miraculous dream, having an angel come to you and speak to you in that way. My dreams are not that cool. I don't know about your dreams, but that's pretty amazing. And he wakes up knowing this was a real thing. This really happened. An angel came and talked to him. This son is coming. His name will be Jesus. I'll take care of him. Now then we get this aside written to just you and me and, you know, anyone else who happens to be reading Matthew chapter 1. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, if you're just reading through Matthew chapter 1, you're like, okay, some prophet in the Old Testament somewhere said this is going to happen, I guess. And you probably just keep reading, right? I don't know how many of you, the first time you read this in Matthew chapter 1, were thinking, well, let me go find that prophet. And you start leafing through your Bible, and you're like, well, maybe it says Isaiah. Man, Isaiah's a big book. I don't know if I want to go hunting for it in the whole of Isaiah. And then you maybe, thankfully, with the use of Google, could narrow it down pretty fast. You'll find out, if you paid attention in our Old Testament reading, it's from Isaiah chapter 7. And in Isaiah chapter 7, where we'll spend our time today, you don't get the same feel. It's not the exact same setting. You don't have a young couple about to have a baby, and we'll see what happens. Instead, you're thrown into the middle of wars between nations, kings fighting against kings, and a wicked king saying, no, I'm not going to trust in God. I'm going to trust in my own strength. Merry Christmas. We'll spend time with that one here. Sure enough, in this story, and I'll fill you in Isaiah chapter 7, what's been going on here. King Ahaz, who's not known as one of the good kings of the northern kingdom in Judah, he is the one who we're talking about, really. The one who this prophecy originally comes to. Not Joseph, a young man about to marry a woman who's got a baby already coming. Instead, to King Ahaz. Now, Ahaz, he's in a bit of trouble, a bit of a predicament, you see. Nearby, the king of Assyria and also the king of the other tribes of God's people in Israel, the two of them are going to band together and they're going to come in war against Judah. They're going to try to destroy the area, take the people into captivity, and use the land as their own. He's being attacked from an outside nation and then a nation that's supposed to be their brothers, literally part of their family. And Ahaz is wondering what he's going to do here. Now, the prophet in question from Matthew chapter 1, Isaiah, is told by God, go and talk to Ahaz. Tell him not to worry. Tell him to have faith and to trust in me. It's going to be okay. Now, this is why he's not known as one of the good kings. The good kings in the Old Testament, they hear from a prophet or they hear from God and they say, and says, don't worry, it's going to be fine. It's going to be safe. Trust in me. And they're like, okay, I'll trust in you, God. Or, I repent of my sins. Please forgive me. Those are the ones that are, quote, quote, good kings, because they put their trust in God. Ahaz, instead, has a very different response. You see, God had told Isaiah to go and tell him, be careful, be quiet, do not fear, and do not let your heart be faint because of these two smoldering stumps of firebrands. Nice way to refer to the other kings. Don't worry, they're just like smoldering stumps of like a torch. It was maybe once a strong torch, but it's kind of going out anyway. Don't worry about them. You're going to be just fine. Be strong, trust in me. And then, at the end of this, thus says the Lord, if you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. That's Isaiah chapter 7, verse 9. Be firm in the faith, and you will be firm. I will make you firm. Trust in me. Everything's going to be fine. You'll be strong and safe. So then we get our reading from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 10. Pretty interesting that having this background now and knowing a little bit about Ahaz, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as the heaven. Ask me any sign. I will give it to you. Other times in the Bible, when people are asking God for a sign, it's not normally taken very nicely. God, I know that you said you'd do this. Could you please show me a sign? Can you just, I trust you, but really, I mean, let me know you're really saying this, please. That'd be great. Sometimes they even get to ask it twice, and God doesn't just smite them there. But just trust in me. You don't need a sign. Here, God's offering him, ask me anything. Tell me whatever you'd like to tell me, and I will show you you can trust in me. And Ahaz puts on the airs of someone who's like, oh, I'll trust in God. I'm not going to ask him any questions. He says, I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test. When God is saying to do it, you should just do it. Come on, Ahaz. It makes sense here. Here, God's telling him, ask for a sign. I'll show you it's true. Oh, I wouldn't want to bother you, God. No, I won't ask for a sign. Instead, I'll just trust in myself and make my own plans. He instead tries to make plans for other nations to come and support him. He decides not to trust in God. He did not respond in faith. His fear of Israel and Syria coming to attack him made him decide, you know what, God, don't worry, I'll take care of it. You don't need to show me a sign. You don't need to do it. I'll take care of it. I'm going to get, you know, Egypt, a couple other people together. We're going to come together, and they will help fight off Syria and Israel. He tries to take matters into his own hands. He's not firm in the faith with God, and God would then subsequently make him not firm at all. It would not go well for Ahaz. I won't go into the whole story because we are going to talk about other things here than just him. I told you we're starting with Joseph, right? In our gospel reading, where this quote is brought up, we hear about this virgin who's going to bear a son. In verse 22, we heard all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken. Verse 24, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not. We get Isaiah's prophecy, and we hear that Joseph did it differently. Whereas Isaiah spoke to King Ahaz, the king who's supposed to be in charge of all of God's people, be faithful, trust in me. And Ahaz didn't do it. Joseph hears from an angel in a dream, be faithful, trust in me, take care of Mary. This son is from the Holy Spirit. He woke up and he did as the angel said. A difference between faithfulness and trusting in God. Now for Ahaz, it does not go well for him. Because he does not trust in God, he tries to trust in his own strength, he ends up defeated. Not in that battle, but ultimately, he is not made strong. For Joseph, who has faithfulness in what God has said through his angel, he gets to be the earthly father of the Son of God. He gets to take care of God himself in Jesus Christ, which is amazing. he is made firm by the faith he has in God. We don't get Isaiah talking to us specifically. We don't always get angels talking to us specifically either. We do have God's word speaking to us, though. Speaking to us and telling us the same thing. To be firm in the faith, and God will make us firm. He will continue to take care of us. You'll notice our Advent candles are getting close to the end here. We've been lighting all the candles. We got to the fourth colorful candle here today. Just this week, we're going to get to the Christ candle. On Christmas Eve, we light it as kind of the last thing we do for our Christmas Eve service. We'll take the light from the Advent candle where we've been waiting for Christ to come. We will see that the light will come into the world, and it will flow out to the whole congregation. We'll all hold candles and we'll sing Silent Night. Remembering that on the silent night that Jesus was born, when there's no fanfare, there's no trumpets, it's not to a king or a kingdom, but to lowly people in a stable and to shepherds outside. They get to see that God is faithful. We get to hear that he is faithful to us. When he says to have faith and to trust in him, no matter the consequence, whether it's a personal concern or fear, or a more national concern or fear, have faith and trust in me. And we have a God who is faithful. We're not trusting in someone who's most of that time pretty good at keeping their word. We're not trusting in just a good family member or friend that we know we can lean on. We're trusting in God who keeps his word to all generations. We're trusting in God the Father who has been so faithful as to send his son from heaven to be born as a baby, to live a perfect life that we can't live ourselves, and to give us that life on the cross when he died in our place. We have a faithful God. You're being told this through a prophecy to Ahaz, through an angel dream to Joseph, through all of God's word and the remembering of his mercies to each of us. Have faith, and I will make you firm. When we trust in God, when we know that he will come again. We've been following the candles. It will get lit in the middle, I promise. Unless Jesus comes on Tuesday. He will come again. He who has been faithful. He who was faithful to give up his son to death. He is faithful and will bring you to eternal life. You don't need to be concerned. You can trust in him. I don't know what each of your personal faith journeys are like. I don't know where you are and what that faith and trust in God looks like. I know that many people in our area, in our community, might be in great despair with flooding and with destruction, with hunger, with sadness, with loss. You know many people who aren't even in this community, I'm sure, that have other troubles. And it is not always easy to hear, be firm in the faith, it's going to be okay. Sometimes it's very, very difficult to put aside our own concerns and our own frustrations and to say, God, help me trust in you. Help me lean on you. Even in the hardest times and in the easiest times, the word to us is still the same. Be firm in the faith, and I will make you firm. That's God's promise to you. That's the promise of the one who has kept every promise he's ever made. Let's take a moment right now in silence to contemplate God's faithfulness to us and to ask him to make us firm in that faith. May God continue to bless you with a strengthening of your faith every day. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Amen. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Hallelujah. And may God bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May he look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.